Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host today. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Review. And once again, our focus is going to be on the search for Hayley Cummings. As always, we have an awesome panel assembled. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have the Director of Programming and News for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart.
TJ, thank you very much.
TJ, how's it going? And have you actually managed to get any sleep in the past few days?
Not much. Not much at all. I got to tell you, there are a lot of good people who do follow this story. And you've heard me kind of rant and rave about some bloggers, the 2%. But I tell you what, the 98% who are following the story are very good and very great people. And I do want to point out to a person north of the border, to a very special person also in St. Louis, and another one in Louisiana. Because I tell you what, if it wasn't for those three people, my butt would not have heard the alarm going off on my phone. Because they kept hitting the redial in the call so much that I finally actually heard it. So thank you very much, because that's when the first of the five suspects in the Putnam County drug bust went to jail. And then one by one, as the names kept popping, bang, 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 bang. And by the time the last one was in, I was here making phone calls to law enforcement. So I do want to thank all of my folks who like to hit me in the Twitter every now and then. So
nothing beats being hit in the Twitter.
In the middle of the night, I tell you, it can be precious.
Right. I'll have to remember that one. From Sin City, Nevada, we have Denny Griffin, otherwise known as the Crime Doctor. Denny, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be with you again.
Hey, Denny.
Hi, Danny.
Hey, hi, Dan.
As an aside, I got to talk to one of Denny's best friends yesterday.
Really?
An ex-mobster and Gambino associate, Andrew DiDonato. And I can honestly say that he sounded like a mobster. I mean, don't they ever scare you, Denny?
Yeah, where did he say he was from, South Georgia?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, the DiDonatos are a big family in Southern Georgia. Oh, and he has the accent to go with it.
A Georgia accent?
Oh, yeah. Georgia Bronx type accent.
Hey, you alls.
And we also have investigative Levi Page. Investigative journalist Levi Page with us. Levi, it is great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me on again, Simon.
As always, our phone lines are open, and the number to call in is 646-378-1120. Also, our chat room is open. Let's start with a quick update on the Kaylee Anthony case. Mother Casey's fraud trial was scheduled to start tomorrow, but apparently that is not going to be happening. Neither the prosecution nor defense have filed any continuances, but the rumor on the street is that there's a plea deal in the making.
Yeah, they're expecting her to make a plea deal, but they haven't said anything about what it's going to be, that I know of anyway. So, but they are still going to be going into court, but not for the trial, I don't guess. It's for more hearings from the defense motion.
Levi, I know that you've been following this case. Do you have any info?
Oh, it's been hard to follow with all going on in the Haley Cummings case, but what was interesting to me is I was listening to one of the talking heads on Jane Velez Mitchell's show, and he was a former judge in Florida, and he says this could hurt her if she goes to trial,
right,
and if she's convicted, and if during the death penalty phase, because if she pleads guilty to this shows that she's broken the law before, and they cannot argue, hey, she's never broken the law before, she's never been convicted of anything. So that would be a mitigating factor not to execute her, but if she pleads guilty, that's the one thing that they can't argue to a jury, that she's never broken the law.
That's why they wanted it thrown out of court to begin with, or at least delayed until after the murder trial. But I don't see how that even copping a plea deal with them would help her at all, because that would still be an admission that she'd done something wrong.
Yeah, and it was caught on closed-circuit TV.
Right, exactly. She can't say she didn't do it, because it did. But
is there a situation where she could plead nolle contendere, no contest, without an admission of guilt?
I don't see how they would let her do it, though. I mean, they want her for this, you know.
I understand.
This is just my opinion, but I don't see how they would, go for it as that.
And would Amy Huizenga agree? Would Amy Huizenga go along with the plea?
Right,
too?
Right. She would have to approve, go along with it too. But, I just don't see how the state would even offer her a plea deal that won't show some kind of guilt, you know, with it somehow. I don't know exactly what the deal is that they think that she's going to plea, but.
Well, the only reason the state might have an interest is that maybe they don't want to show some of their hand in the murder trial.
Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but I just don't see where it's going to help them if she pleads, saying no, whatever it was, but I just don't think that that's what it's going to be, but I could be wrong. So I haven't read anything or seen anything to back what I'm saying, so that's just my opinion.
Okay, the unnews in the Kaylee Anthony case is that February the 1st, unless I'm very much mistaken, is coming up very fast. And apparently this is when Bozo and his seven dwarfs are going to appear in court and tell the judge exactly why this whole case, that the murder case, should be thrown out.
Yeah, if he manages to get it, unless he manages to get that postponed too. Seems like he postpones everything. But yet they're blaming it on the state, saying that it's the state's fault that there's all these delays.
And, I wish I could get a continuance on our electric bill.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That just doesn't seem to work. Okay, let's move on to a different topic. Haley Cummings. This has been one very, very busy week. And before we get into it, I do want to take a very short musical break, because I think it sums up the situation quite well.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo, here comes the sun.
TJ, we were talking earlier, you haven't had much sleep. It has been a busy few days. Let's start with the drug bust. Tell us what happened.
let's do that. Wednesday was a very busy day, and once again, I want to thank the folks online who managed to get me out of a deep slumber. That was about the last time I had any sleep. It was Wednesday evening, because at about 9 o'clock 9:30, it started going bat bananas. What had happened was that FDLE, which is the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Putnam County, HITSTO, which is a high-intensity drug trafficking organization that goes after different drug crimes with many different jurisdictions. And they had been working together for about a month. And to sum it up, on Wednesday night in the Hooskow, get your pencils and scorecards ready, Ronald Cummings, Misty Crosland, Tommy Crosland, Hope Sykes, and Donna Brock, of all people, were put in jail, and actually different jails, and I'll get to that in a moment. This all stemmed from a tip with a source of knowledge of the alleged dealing of oxycodone and hydrocodone. This was known pretty early in the game that drugs were a part of a lifestyle and did have some interaction in the domestic lives and of pretty much all of these people, with the exception of Brock. It wasn't known at that point. But it comes as no surprise. To quote Putnam County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Johnny Greenwood, they had a source come forward, and that could have been anybody. And their investigator was very good at infiltrating. The person posed as someone who knew their way around the controlled prescription medication black market. And they worked on it for about a month. And after the bust, Misty Crosland, Hank Crosland Jr., otherwise known as Tommy Crosland, and Donna Brock were incarcerated and put in the St. Johns County Jail, where they remain. There's been a little bit of a change, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. Ronald Cummings was moved to the Flagler County Jail, and Sykes remains at Putnam County. And these were for security reasons, according to the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. Ronald Cummings and Mr. Crosland were placed in separate jails to avoid any possibility of communicating with each other. Now, Misty is being held in lieu of $950,000 bail, just under $1 million. Some were suggesting that her bail had been increased, but that was prior to being moved to the other jail facility. So right now, as it stands, it's just under $1 million. Cummings is at $500,000. Donna Brock at $250,000. Sykes at $150,000. Now, Hank Crosland had a bound amount of about $100,000. Now, if you were just checking the websites like I did and just making a few thousand calls before you got the right one, you would assume that by taking a look at Crosland's bail and inmate information at the St. Johns County Jail that his bond had been lowered because there were some goose eggs in some of the brackets. I did speak electronically with Lieutenant Johnny Greenwood, and he clarified that. He said the zeros are what's in the computer. What has happened is that some of the charges in Putnam County were to the point where his bond had to be revoked because he violated terms of his bail for some other things that he's accused of doing in Putnam County. And I can think of the, you know, awaiting the trial on the theft of a gun charge, and also he was picked up, passed out in a car where drugs were found in the front seat. So he's got that going against him, too. Mr. Crosland is facing 6 counts of trafficking in prescription medications. 3 counts of the same charge are pending against Cummings and 1 against Crosland Jr., Sykes, and Brock, according to the sheriff's office. This is where the pressure is really being applied. Now, Dominic Pape is a special agent with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and I've covered some stories that he's been involved in. It was a horrible shooting of a college couple down in the Ocala State Forest about a year or two ago from some crazy nut kid from Tampa just wanted to shoot somebody just because he wanted somebody to feel pain. On to this. Misty Crosland, if she is convicted as charged, could face as much as 74 years in the Gray Bar Inn. Ronald Cummings could face 43 years behind bars. Donna Brock, 75 years. Taking a look at Hope Sykes, 15.
Donna Brock is 25.
Yeah, what did I say?
75.
Oh, 25. Okay, yeah, thank you very much. I didn't have my prescription arms on. Now I will put my glasses on now at this point. So with Hope Sykes at 15 and Hank Crosland at 3 years, and this has just been crazy. Now, as everybody knows, Ronald is the father of six-year-old Haley, who was taken from her home just about a year ago, February of 2009. While he was at work, Misty was the babysitter at that time and the last person to see her. Now, an interesting comment was made by law enforcement officials. They said that these two investigations are parallel. And this is Lieutenant Greenwood. I hope something comes of it and we can gather enough information to bring it to a conclusion. Okay, two investigations parallel, it to a conclusion. Maybe the parallel investigations will intersect. One could only think that to be true.
Oh,
and that's what we got so far, and just a bunch of spiky things hanging out there. And I know everybody's chomping at the bit. Donna Brock, does that name sound familiar? More arrests expected. Who's going to jail?
I'll tell you what. Let's hold off on Donna for a second.
Sure.
Levi, you have been following this. What do you make of these drug busts?
Well, I find that it very interesting that the people who've been arrested, we have Ronald, who some people have heard rumblings of the clocks that they clock in on when he went to work that night. They were out, and they were getting new, and he says that was his, you know, alibi for being there. And I've heard rumors that somebody was lying for him, saying that he was being there. So that's interesting that he is now in jail. This is the same person that called Misty, quote, a dumb bitch to the cops whenever the cops showed up to the house. And it just seems so overdramatic whenever the police called the home and he was yelling, screaming, saying he was going to kill whoever did this. You know, most parents at first don't want to believe that someone abducted their child. They want to believe that the child walked away. They push that out of their mind at first, and then reality sets in. But this guy at first, he was just so angry. Somebody had to kill it. Just seems so very dramatic on the 911 call. And then we have Misty, her inconsistencies, saying that Haley was in bed with her that night, 3 inches away. Then she was 3 feet away on a mattress. Whether it was 3 inches or 3 feet away, her or Junior, Haley's brother, would have heard somebody come in there if they took that child. They had a cinder block, propped the door open, and came in. Misty said they picked the lock. They would have heard somebody come in that house. You got to be kidding me. The police were right when they said this was not a stranger abduction. There was no forced entry, according to the police. And, you know, Junior said that night that it was men in black took Haley. And remember Ronald, he's talking about them. He says, "Who them? They took Haley." Who's them? It's, you know, I believe that Ronald could have told Junior to say something like that, say that these men in black took Haley. So that's what I think about this. I think that Ronald and Misty, they're going to, if they can't get after them, I think then they're going to go to Donna, and then they're going to go to Hank and Hope. And Hank, interesting, when they arrested him for some drug charges a while back, remember he said that he went to the home and knocked on the door and nobody was there. So he interjected himself to this entire police investigation. And I wonder if they're trying to get more information out of him, if another charge can make this guy talk. Hope, that's an interesting one. I don't know much about her. Maybe somebody can fill me in on her. And Donna Brock, now that's interesting. You know, I've talked to Donna very many times. She is actually the one that helped get Misty on my show January 3rd. And I know they traveled out of state to do the show, and they did it from her home in North Carolina. After the show, I think a couple of weeks later, I talked to Donna, and Donna told me that the police called Misty on the phone and that the police said, "We know you've been out of state, and we just want you to know that we're watching you." So they, and Donna had also said that they talked, when they talk on the phone, they know that the police are listening, and they wish the police happy holidays and happy new year. So this is somebody that knew the police were tracking him and tracking them, and they still got involved in drugs. I mean, it's just bizarre and stupid, really. And then also what's interesting about Donna, you know, Donna had these tapes, and it was apparently some illegal tapes also, where she recorded Misty without her knowledge. She also had tapes of Misty and Amber Nene Pravat, and I've heard bits and pieces of those tapes. She played them to me over the phone, and I didn't hear anything directly related to the Haley case. It was just a bunch of two girls pissed off at Cobra and Kim Picazio was all I heard. and it was hard to hear exactly what they said because, again, she was playing it to me over the phone. Now we're hearing Steph Watts, an investigative journalist, is saying that Donna tried to sell these tapes to the media, and he's also saying that he witnessed Donna give Misty illegal drugs and prescription medication when they took Misty to New York to do, I think it was the early show, when she did the early show in November around this road rage incident. So this is just a big hot mess, and I hope it answers in Haley, and I have a feeling that it will.
Denny, I'd like to get your comments.
Well, I got to tell you, the news about these arrests for some pretty serious charges that carry some substantial prison time, if there are convictions, has me the most optimistic about a solution or resolution to this case than I've been in a long time. I really think now law enforcement has a strong bargaining position to get some of these people who are facing the major prison time to be cooperative and actually come clean and tell what they know. And even if none of these people know the current whereabouts of Haley, somebody, maybe back to Misty or whoever, knows what actually happened that night, the disappearance, and where the child went from there. Somebody took that child, and if we can come up through one of these players, one of these arrestees, defendants, even if they don't know her whereabouts at this moment, it's a starting point to put all the pieces together and lead to her or to what happened to her. So I'm quite optimistic this could be the turning point we've all been waiting for.
Let's really hope so. TJ, the other thing that came out of Putnam County was this very ominous comment: more arrests are expected.
You remember when Haley's birthday came about on August 17th, and about halfway through the press release, oh, by the way, if anybody knew where Misty Cummings might have been, we'd sure like to know. And then it goes on to other business, but that fifth paragraph just went, wah, 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 big alarm. Well, this is pretty much what that very understated sentence said to me. Is, oh, really? And the thing is you wonder if the arrest will be made along the lines of the drugs, or if the arrest will be made along the lines of the abduction of the child, or if the arrest will be made regarding both. I have a feeling that you're going to have some in relation to the drug sting, but I think the big arrest you're going to hear about is someone who had direct knowledge and someone who may have actually been a very big component, if not the culprit, him or herself, in Haley's disappearance, or at least a major accomplice. So that's just speculation, but I got to tell you, with these folks in different jails and with virtually no way of getting out, they can bond out, but I'm telling you, the likelihood of that is going to be so unlikely that they're going to be there for a good long time. The withdrawals are going to hit them. I've been told by folks who have seen Misty that she is not particularly doing well. Age, the level of usage, I can't get myself out of this one now, and just being somewhat defiant and just pissed off, really. Not handling the gray bar in very well, as I'm being told by sources inside. So it'll just matter of time before somebody says, look, enough. What do I got to do to get out of here? Right. What do I got to do to make this time in what I perceive to be hell shorter? And somebody's going to talk, and I would give it about a week to 10 days.
Oh, I think you're right. I love the the veiled threat. More arrests are expected.
Well, I don't think that's a threat. I think that's pretty much a promise.
Well, there's two names. There's two names who haven't been arrested, who's, you know, been involved in this case. We've heard their names floated around, and that's White Boy Greg Page, and that's Amber Nene Prevett. So maybe they're going to be arrested next.
Yeah, on the drug side, that wouldn't surprise me. On the abduction side, I would be equally unsurprised as well.
Yeah, because we know that Misty, according to Cobra, Misty and that Greg Page guy were, you know, doing drugs and having sex the weekend before Haley went missing.
Yes, but I've talked to Greg after that. He didn't want to have anything to do with her after that situation. I'm not going to say the boy's a saint, because the young man is not a saint. He'll tell you he's not a saint. His mom will tell you he's not a saint. He had some regrets about that, because,
well, also,
you know,
I also love now how, you know, Teresa Neves is blaming this entire thing on Misty with Ronald being in jail. It's Misty's fault. He should have never been hanging around her. I mean, does this woman ever say anything negative about her son? Does she not ever hold him responsible? So it's glad to hear that his mom is not taking up for him.
It's tough for parents to do, I'll tell you, as a parent. Because you never ever want to believe the worst of your child. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's difficult for a parent to do.
But I think at just one point, after just so much, you just got to stop.
Well, maybe he isn't guilty.
Well, we don't know. There hasn't been a trial. There hasn't been any charges.
The members incarcerated right now is Hope Sykes. Now, if I have this right, she was involved in the drug buy that went bad, that resulted in a 911 call. I mean, you know, how you can possibly call 911, you know, because the drugs you're buying, you know, hasn't worked, amazes me. Am I correct in linking her to Misty with that incident?
I'd say the link is there.
All right. Now, on the night that Haley disappeared,
mm-hmm.
one of the theories is she was at a party. I think I've heard the name Hope Sykes connected with that.
I'd have to go back on that. I remember the name after the attempted robbery, I believe it was, and but the name has popped up here and there. I just don't have her like in her own little folder file yet. It did. She's getting one today. Gosh, I've never had to run a newsroom like a police operation.
Well, you know, I honestly think that this case is moving forward, and that's good.
No, I'm sorry. Hope's not. I don't think she was connected with the party. She was. I think she was connected with that robbery more so than anything else, guys. The attempted robbery when there was an attempted drug buy. Remember that? And I think it happened in Palatka.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm really not recalling anything with the party. I remember Nene and Amber, and that was it.
Okay, I'm not trying to defend any of these people in any shape or form, but this drug bust concerns prescription meds,
mm-hmm.
and the police are saying it was a 1 month infiltration, and it involved 339 pills of oxys and roxys. Okay, that sounds like about 10 1 month prescriptions. Okay, it's a lot. It's almost a year's supply for someone that is actually using them. But it's not that big a deal. And yet they've slapped this huge, huge bond amount on them all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, nothing happens. Everything happens for a reason, and it's more than just what your mother told you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, geez, in North Florida, about a week ago, there was a huge education push that was on about spotting users of illegally prescribed medications and all the underground trafficking in prescribed meds. A lot of different police officers and sheriff's officers took part in this training put on by Purdue Pharma. And I'm just telling you that some of this stuff ain't happening by accident. I'm not saying that these two things are necessarily linked, but I'm telling you the push is to get these meds off the street. People are running black market. Folks are dying. Folks are getting hurt. And it's creating a lot of havoc with this crap on the street. People don't know how to use these things. They grind this stuff up. They snort them. Next thing you know, they OD because they didn't realize that they had the higher octane as opposed to the party octane. And, you know, stuff is just happening this wrong. We're also having armed robberies with this stuff, too. Part of this was, yeah, let's get this crap off the street. It's dangerous. But the big part in this particular one were the players involved. Let's get the highest bound amounts we can and see if we can't, you know, get this little nickel and dime drug trade in their situation off the streets. But let's find this child. And, I mean, you know, the common man knows that that the bond was probably a little out of at the very highest end possible for some of these drug trafficking charges. But while you're there, and they made no bones about it, I don't think I saw a smile, but I detected a little crack of a grin. Yep, there'll be plenty of opportunity for them to visit with our investigators should they want to talk about anything.
Denny, you have friends in fairly low places. in fact, we talked to one yesterday. I know the mob doesn't tend to deal in prescription drugs. They much preferred the street drug trade. How does someone obtain, you know, a gazillion OxyContins? I mean, you can't, you know, even by doctor shopping, you know, you're not going to end up with, you know, a ton of Oxys that you can ship from Vegas to New York.
Yeah, I want to talk to my friend Andrew about that a little more, but as he was saying yesterday, that he doesn't think they could set up through the prescription drugs, using prescription drugs, the volume of...
Can you possibly speak up a little bit? You're a little low.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Andrew indicated that they probably couldn't do the volume of prescription drugs they could on the strictly illegal stuff. But... it would be a very good market. Now, and I was saying how I had seen when I was in doing some work in New York City, actually in Brooklyn in the South Bronx, that the way they were doing it there, these people were selling their Medicaid numbers, for example, to get paid in scripts, in drug scripts. And it was really, they were in these clinics on virtually every corner, and a lot of these people had multiple Medicaid numbers that they had gotten illegally, apparently, and they were generating an awful lot of drugs. One individual was between the doctor shopping, using different identifications, different Medicaid numbers, and they were going through a whole bunch of drugs. And, you know, I thought back then, I said, man, I said, what a deal this is. These people can get this kind of a volume of drugs, prescription drugs, get them illegally, through doctor shopping and false IDs, but nonetheless get them. So I think if you're a, you know, if you're determined that that's what you want to do and get to the volume that you can distribute, not just for personal use, there's ways to do it. And it's a little scary, but unfortunately that seems to be the way it is.
Levi, do you have any, I'd say background in prescription drug abuse, but I don't mean it that way.
No. But what is interesting is that Donna Brock told me that she took Misty to this dentist, and if you look on Donna Brock's MySpace, it says she's a dental assistant, and this dentist that she works for, I forgot whether it was in North Carolina or Orlando, Florida. She also has a home in Georgia, so I forgot where it was at. I think it was in Orlando where she took Misty to get some teeth pulled and dental work done, and this dentist did it for free. And I'm just wondering, could she have gotten some of these drugs? They're not all of them, but some of them, that's a possibility. I wonder if police are looking into that.
That's an interesting one. But by the way, to all of our listeners, our phone lines are open, and the number to call in with your questions or comments is area code 646-378-1120. Levi has just opened the door to another wonderful subject, Donna Brock. Okay, Levi, do you want to kick it off?
Well, this is the former Equisearch volunteer who started befriending Misty with law enforcement's cooperation, and then suddenly, after a road rage incident, Texas Equisearch dismissed her. It's not clear if she was a paid volunteer or a paid employee or just simply a volunteer, but she was working with them, and that they put this letter of dismissal, but they no longer needed her services on the website after this road rage incident that occurred. And they were, you know, pulled over and after that, but nothing ever came of that. But interesting, even though she was outed as working undercover with law enforcement, even though she was outed as working undercover with TES, Misty still was befriending her. They were still friends, even after Donna even taped her illegally and had on these tapes. And I just wonder if law enforcement are going over these tapes, and I just wonder what's on those tapes. Could Misty have slipped up, said anything incriminating? That's going to be a key. Maybe that's why they decided to go after her. And also, forgot what else I was going to say, but I just think that it's interesting. It shocked me whenever I heard that she was arrested along with all of these people. And I noticed I'd been talking to her for a couple of months, and I noticed that when I first started talking to her, she was very skeptical of Misty. She said, "Oh, Misty thinks that she's smarter than I am. She thinks that you know she's got one over on me, but you know I got her fooled." But then over the months, her tune had changed, and she was more along the lines of, you know, more like a motherly figure to Misty, feeling sorry for her, defending her, defending Ronald, and just down on law enforcement all of a sudden. So that's interesting to me about this entire Donna Brock situation.
TJ, what's your thoughts on Donna Brock?
I've not ever spoken with her personally. I can only go by her actions. It makes one wonder why one would want to be a part of or insert themselves into a story. That mindset, it's something that needs that I'd like to study, to be quite honest with you. But if her intent was to genuinely help Tim Miller in Texas Equisearch at the time, I could buy it. But to continue the relationship, as Levi has outlined, and watch her make a personality change or feelings toward another person change like that, that's pretty interesting. It's pretty revealing. I still think that road rage incident on I-4 down here in Florida was somewhat staged, and for what reason I really don't know. I really, really, really don't know. But it might have been to shake things up or something. So many different people have been trying to crack Misty for so long, including law enforcement, other people. Cobra tried to do a reenactment with Ronald and Misty early on in the game. That didn't pan out. And now I've spoken with Misty a couple of times too, and Misty does carry herself a little bit like, "Yep, I am smarter than you, and you're not gonna know anything about me that unless I tell you. You won't know anything because you know I will not show my cards." And she's very good at that. She's very, very good at that, as a matter of fact.
I got a little story to tell. Whenever Misty was going to be on that show, I had talked to her midday on January 3rd to confirm it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "We don't want you to cancel, because if I say that you're going to be on and then you don't show up, that's going to piss a lot of people off." And then she says, "Oh, well, I'm going to have to talk to my attorney." And then the next thing I know, Donna Brock had yanked the phone away from her and said, "She'll be on the show."
Wow.
And the next thing I know, she was on. She was ready to do it. No questions asked.
Wow. So there has been a bit of a mother figure void filled with Ms. Brock. Misty was telling me that infamous night on Nancy Grace, "Missing in action." Misty was 3 feet away from me in the green room for 20 minutes, by the way. She was very down on her parents. She said that she really, you know, they're her parents, so, you know, that's what they are. But that her mom, you know, and dad were basically a couple, and this is her words, hippies. They would move from place to place all over. Sometimes they'd live in cars, and they were stoned all the time. And I think what she was looking for at that point in her life when she met Donna Brock was someone to be like a big sister or perhaps a mother figure at that point in time. And it was also during that conversation she said that she was trying to get herself right. She had gone to a church and been baptized, I think is what she said, a small church in Wallaca. And at that time she appeared to be trying to straighten a few things out with herself. But about the time you're starting to buy into, I'm getting things right with myself. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. She turned to me and looked at me as if she was looking right through me, and her eyes just glared. And she said, "And I wasn't at no party that night." And then she shut the hell up. And that was the last thing she said to me. Here she was just going on and on and on and on and on, and suddenly turned ice cold, turned to me, her eyes just glaring, her jaw was tight, and she goes, "And I wasn't at no party that night." It's like, well, okay. So it was very odd behavior.
Okay, but going back to the Donna Brock story, I didn't like it when it first appeared. Tim Miller's group should not have been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Levi mentioned that it was with law enforcement's blessing. I think that's first
time
I've heard that.
Even after, at least Donna told me, even after she was dismissed from Equisearch, law enforcement was still using her. But
that's
then
interesting.
Recently, she had told me recently that law enforcement had told her to leave Misty alone, stay away from Misty, and let them handle it. They think that if she doesn't have anybody around her, nobody befriending her, that would make her break. Obviously, all these people around her trying to crack her, that wasn't working. They thought maybe if we just let her go, let her do what she wants, then she'll break. And I think Donna did not like it when law enforcement told her that.
Okay, well, one of the things that are up in the air is, you know, was she paid by Equisearch, or was she just a volunteer?
That letter we got, Simon, was kind of nebulous, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it was. But sources are also saying that Donna Brock spent something like $3,000 of Equisearch's money on pampering and befriending Misty. I mean, would you give $3,000 to a volunteer or someone that worked for you?
Wow.
Hey, Simon, I have a comment to make on, you know, these reports coming out about Donna said that she had a falling out with EquiSearch, and she had suspected, she was reporting back to Tim Miller and law enforcement while she was undercover with trying to get information out of Misty, and she said that they would turn it on Nancy Grace, and everything that she said that she was reporting back to Tim Miller would be reported on the Nancy Grace show. So she said when this started happening, she would report to them false information. And she said that this false information, such as getting hair and nails done, was also being reported on the Nancy Grace show. So even before Tim Miller had fired her, according to what Donna told me, Donna had they'd been having troubles, and it was a rocky road before then.
It was kind of interesting because during that night on the Nancy Grace show with her in the green room, Misty was kind of joking that she said, first of all, Ron and me never had no big fight. And I'm going, well, okay, good. You know, I'm not even asking her any questions. She's volunteering all this stuff, you know. And then she said, in fact, you know, it's kind of fun to sit around and watch TV. We watch all these shows, and sometimes we, if we get a chance to get on the Internet and take a look, we just like to see what the hell, you know, people are saying. Some of this stuff is so made up and so outlandish, you know. One would never, ever, ever believe some of the stuff that's being said. She said that with freshly done hair and brand-new French nails applied. So at one point, she and Donna, and this is the week that she came back with Donna, did get their hair done, did get their nails done.
Hmm. Ouch.
Sounds like you don't know who to believe, and it depends on who she's talking to as to what story it's going to give them.
You betcha. I've said this a lot of times on this program. It depends on who you ask and what day you ask
right.
them.
Exactly. I mean, she could talk to us and tell us one story, to you, TJ, and tell you something
yeah.
else, and something else to Levi.
Well, all these people are having a good time, and I think, Levi, I think you're seeing some of this firsthand, is that they try to manipulate who they feel needs to be manipulated, and they it's been pretty much a game. It's been you know, the Putnam County, it's the Jersey Shore of reality shows in Putnam County, Florida, baby.
Got it.
Actually, I find it fairly amusing. I'm bigoted, I'm opinionated, I hate them all, and as a consequence, you know, none of them talk to me. Well, apart from a lawyer, but we won't mention her name. that just drives me crazy.
Watch it.
Yeah, you better watch it.
Jan's going to drop you.
I'm going to go back to Denny. Denny, you're our sensible sounding board.
Okay.
What do you think of all of this?
Well, you know, I just something interesting talking about Ms. Brock and her cooperation or working with or in conjunction with law enforcement. I'm just wondering how that's going to play out now with the current charges. For example, what I'm thinking is there a defense looming here of entrapment? In other words, I infiltrated the drug scene at law enforcement's request or to assist mm-hmm. law enforcement getting information. I never would have been involved with this drug thing had I not been trying to help law enforcement. Therefore, you know, charging me with the drug thing, you know, really shouldn't be done because I was doing it at their behest. I don't know if that's a thought that Ms. Brock has, but
yeah.
it just seems as though if in fact she was doing things at initially at law enforcement's request. Now Levi said near the end here they asked her to back off because having friends try to get her to Misty to cooperate or divulge anything wasn't working, and they would rather handle it themselves. But I just don't know, Levi. Do you or TJ? Do you guys think there's a possible defense here for her, and that she was working in conjunction with law enforcement to obtain information, and therefore anything she did basically should not be held against her?
That would be a good one going in to get the charges dropped. ASA. If what she's saying is true, if what she is saying is true.
Okay, where was she picked up? Was she in
North
Carolina?
It was here in Florida, yeah.
It was in Orlando.
Orlando,
but,
yeah.
No, the address that they list of her residence on
Orlando.
The website, it's North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
also
a primary residence.
Had a home. I also know that she had a home in Georgia. So how does a dental assistant afford a home in Orlando, Florida, Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia?
Oh, Levi, if you're a pretty girl, you can marry any kind of money you want.
Well,
oh, good Lord. I mean, I've seen a picture.
I'm just an old man. I've just seen a few things. I'm just saying, okay?
Yeah, I wouldn't class her as a pretty girl.
Well, it's Sunday, sir.
Oh, okay. All right, we're all being nice.
Simon?
Yes.
The other thing I'd like to mention, if you don't want to do it right now, but maybe before the show ends, is I've been to a few sites today and a few chat rooms and so forth, and I've seen in the comments about deals, potential deals. Now that some of the key players have been arrested, they're facing, if convicted, some pretty serious time. And there's some people are concerned that the police might accept virtually anything from these people, you know, and that information wouldn't be true and so on and so forth. Some of the defendants would just be scrambling to make deals and telling the police what they think the police want to hear. And I'd like to kick this around a little bit. Do you want to do it now or do you want to...
No, I'd be happy to kick it around. But, Denny, I'm going to fire it right back at you.
Okay.
Right? I've had dealings with some of your best friends.
Mm-hmm.
They accepted deals, and I'm sure if they were telling fibs, they would still be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you get caught out taking a plea, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, I think, Simon, and you know, maybe there's other, well, I'm sure there are other opinions out there, but the defendant, in my experience, has to offer or produce a proffer and tell prosecutors what information they have, what it is they can bring to the table, and how they can prove it. And I would be very surprised. I'm not familiar with the Florida law enforcement here, but I'd be very surprised if they would just accept any of these players who are now under the gun, legally speaking, you know, and again facing some major time, that they would just accept as the gospel that any of them, you know, saw Joe Smith in the neighborhood the night Haley disappeared, and therefore he must have taken her, but they have no proof to that. That's speculation, blah, blah, blah. You know, is that my get-out-of-jail-free card? I would be terribly surprised if this type of thing would be accepted by law enforcement as factual. I would assume that they're going to want to know exactly what the player saw, what they heard, what they did, how they can prove it. Are there other witnesses? Is there documentary evidence? Is there physical evidence? Is whatever. And the other thing is that if the offer or the proffer is accepted, that any time in the future, if it's found out to not be truthful, the deal is off, and they would be facing right back to square one as far as their time goes. So I'm certainly hopeful that law enforcement would want a provable story and not agree to let turn anybody loose or give them some kind of reduced sentence or no sentence at all unless the defendant comes up with provable goods that will result in hopefully finding Haley or finding out what happened to Haley. And I don't know, that's my thought. Do you guys see it different? Do you think that they're liable just to accept any type of story from any of these people
and
lose?
I'd like to go ahead and field that if I could. Danny, I think that they're so very close right now with that one piece of the puzzle missing that they pretty much hold all the cards. And I get the feeling that if any deal is going to be cut, it'll be done in that order that you stated with the proffer. And, you know, going back to square one, if you're lying, you're dying, basically. You know, you're going to go back and start all over again. I imagine that would be the only way any kind of deal, if a deal at all, was going to be cut. I think they might be open to something depending on what it is, but I think they've got the winning hand right now. I just wish I had more substance to back up what I'm saying to put on display for everyone right now, but I can't. Let's just say they're in the driver's seat. They're in the driver's seat, and it would be interesting to see if any more of these arrests are going to be in-state or perhaps out-of-state. And if, indeed, we might be seeing a relative or two being brought in.
TJ, probably the politically correct version would be...
I'm going to shut my mouth.
We are expecting developments.
We're expecting developments in the next week or two.
And we will say no more on the subject.
Thank you, sir. On advice of counsel, I am shutting thyself up for a moment.
Okay. Another thing that happened this week was Friday's fun announcement.
Can I give myself a root canal?
Now, I love to give credit where credit's due.
God, no one hide.
Anyway, it was TJ that that broke the news. There apparently was a group of bail bond company wanting to spring out Misty and Tommy. Mm-hmm. Did you want to tell us about this story?
I got a call shortly after my granddaughter's dog had gotten into the trash at my house and spewed it all over the place. I came out to see what the ruckus was, with nothing but a towel wrapped around me, and here's that little puppy wagging his tail going, "Hey, I did a pretty good job, didn't I? Hey, look at that. I did that all by myself." So in about that time, the phone rings, and it's William Cobra Stubbs, a private investigator. And he says, "I am acting as a media liaison, a go-between. I've offered to, because I know people in the media covering this story, I've offered this group that I know from out west, you know, the ability to get this out." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And I said, "I'll be at work in 40 minutes, and I'll give you a call." So I called him back, and we recorded about a $1.20 off the telephone of him stating that a group was interested in the possibility of getting a reduced bond and then perhaps springing Tommy and Misty for reasons they would not say. Bill said that he was acting only as their messenger and their liaison, and he underscored that later in the day by saying, "I don't approve of this." And then suddenly he lost contact with the folks from out west from whom he was doing the media relations with. He claims that he's been now taken out of the loop on what their plans might be. We've also heard some rumblings that another person who's already done this before in a similar case is interested in perhaps trying to spring Bond for the whole lot of them. I'm not going to put any credence in it till I see something a little bit more substantive, but that is being rumbled. And like I said, until I see something a bit more substantive, I'm not going to bite on that, that's for sure. But I tell you what, that it got a lot of people's attention. I gave the heads up to law enforcement before that article ever hit the sky973.com or bloggernews.net. They needed to be advised of that prior to that hitting the web. And I got a couple of responses. We won't go by one here.
We won't talk about those responses.
I like to think my mother's pretty nice.
Right. Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have someone coming in from the 309 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Okay, my name is Catfish, and I have a question and a comment. I'll do my comment first. I don't know who in their right mind would bond them out, even if they were involved. And then second, has anybody heard exactly what kind of money was found on these people or involved in the transactions that they're being charged with? I mean, how much money are we talking here?
How much cash money?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I got that. Doggone it! I have to go through my email because I got that whole kit and caboodle. It'll be a little bit before I can get that for you, but I do have the full arrest papers in my possession.
Hey, if you put it on CNN or something, that'd be wonderful.
I will put them up there a little bit later on, soon as I find them. Thank you for reminding me.
Yep.
Actually, with 339 oxys and roxys, I think they have a street price of about $10 a pop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're looking at just under $4,000.
Yeah, but I'm talking about cash in their hands, too.
Right, and what they had to turn over for the buy or for the sale or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what the street value was. It was $3,900, but I got to check and see because there was some there may have been some cash that was found on them, and sometimes that is taken in like real quick for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
All righty,
okay,
I am on it.
Okay, I'll go back to listening. Thank you.
All right.
Actually, a very important and interesting question is where did they get their oxys and roxys from? Ooh.
What?
Okay, everyone goes quiet.
Well, there have been all kinds of allegations that there have been some double with double scripting going on, and some of that taking place allegedly at a military base, and then off at the regular. Drugstores. That's been floated around the county for a good long time. So that is one place. There have been a string of armed robberies where those very same medications have been taken at the point of a gun at a couple of pharmacies. I think one in Marion County. I think another one just here locally as well in Putnam County too. Just very rare, very recent. So there are all kinds of ways where these things are getting out. That's why they put the clamp down. It's a terrible problem we have with these things.
Going back to this, you know, potential of bailing these knuckleheads out. TJ, I don't know what you've heard, but the rumor I heard was that there was a Vegas connection. It was going to be Vegas money.
Vegas came up a couple times in conversation.
Denny wasn't going to bail him out, was he?
Yeah, right. It's all Denny's fault.
Yeah, you're not like my wife. No matter what the situation is, it always comes around to be my fault.
Oh, God, I hope I did.
Benny, I thought you were just a poor, penniless author like the rest of us. But, apparently you have cash to throw around.
And a wide cash flow, as they say, right?
Oh, okay, here's the big question, though. What is the likelihood that this will expedite the resolution to Haley's disappearance?
Highly.
I like that. That was a short answer.
Well, that's all I got. I'm hoping to God I didn't delete that darn file. I'm sorry.
Well, Levi, what do you think?
Well, I think that I agree with everything that TJ said. I think that this is just more than drugs. This has to do something with Haley. Law enforcement have hinted around to it. I think even you, TJ, didn't one of your reports say that they told you that they're close to solving this case?
Several times. Several times they have said that, yes.
Now, you don't make a comment like that unless you're close.
Yeah. And something else that has come out because I need to very gingerly walk around this, Simon, my counsel, on this because I think it's important that I find this and I word it properly without attribution. The belief from law enforcement at this point is we do not know if she's dead or alive. Now, up until not too long ago, they said they were looking for a live child because the last time the child was ever seen, she was alive. But you ask any of the people who wear a badge, they want to be looking for a live child. But they say right now, we do not know if she is dead or alive. And they might be saying this in a way to maybe pop the truth out of somebody. Or they may be, of course, stating a fact. So we're going to have to take that one for what it's worth. And we're just going to see how much farther we got to go on this merry-go-round before somebody says they want to get off.
You know, TJ, we talk fairly frequently.
Yes, sir.
And I know exactly what you're saying. It's not so much what law enforcement says, but how they say it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I felt exactly the same thing. In fact, I believe the quote is, but we do hope it's the latter.
That is exactly correct. You thank you for picking up that phrase after the period, after the ellipse. Thank you.
But genuinely, can she still be alive? You know, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary. No sign, no credible leads. Can she still be alive?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're dealing with some people here. I mean, you've got a lot of people that's involved in this case.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are smarter than what we give them credit for. A lot of them know the law. A lot of them has been involved with the law before. A lot of them have seen. Now, just give me a chance to finish this. A lot of them have seen. I'm not talking about against the law, Simon. I'm talking about they work in the law department, in the field. And a lot of them know how to cover things, too. I mean, you work with the police department. You see how things are covered. And so it is possible. It's possible that some of these people that are involved in this, No, just how to cover up this story. I mean, they've kept quiet for a year now, almost. So what, I mean, who's to say that somebody that is behind it doesn't know how to do it? You just don't know.
Yeah. You're very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very possible. I'm sorry. I cannot give up the fact that this child could possibly be alive. I can't give it up because I feel in my heart that there is still a chance that they can, that somebody has got her for different reasons. And maybe none of these people, maybe Ron doesn't know anything about it. Maybe Misty knows who did it but can't say because of a threat. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons, and I'm not saying that that's it, because, I mean, heaven only knows, every time somebody says something, to defend any of them, they want to jump on you because you're wrong, because it's not possible, but it is possible. I mean, until we know more facts and to know the truth, you have to realize that it is possible.
Oh, anything is possible. I, however, disagree with you.
Yeah, I know. We do disagree on a lot.
I still think the entire bunch of them are as dumb as rocks.
Well, somebody's smart enough to keep this quiet. Somebody's smart enough to keep this hidden all this time. And, you're up against a lot of people that are smart. So somebody in this that's involved in this is very smart as far as hiding this, whether it be from the Croslands, the Cummings, the Sheffields, the Griffiths, whatever. I mean, there's somebody that knows what they're doing.
Or, just to be me, there's somebody who's highly illogical. Who's pulling the strings? And when you have smart people work in the logical fashion. If you have somebody who's highly illogical, they'll come off like a genius in this.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just thought, you know, that nobody wants to admit that this could be wrong or that, you know, this one might not be involved. And it's just, maybe we're looking at the ones that we would assume that wouldn't be involved could be behind the whole thing. I mean,
wow.
That's just a thought that it could be, because they would figure nobody would ever expect it to be them.
Oh, okay. I want to move on. I'm just going to make a very quick comment, and I'm going to see if I get a wall of silence. Apparently, Steph Watts, who has a nose for news, is going to be interviewing Tim Miller this evening. I believe it's something like 8 or 9 p.m.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yeah, I'll check it.
Good.
Does Steph Watts work for Tim Miller?
Donna says that they work closely together.
I'm just curious.
I've interviewed both of them, and whenever I had them scheduled to be on my show, I got a telephone call from Donna Watts crying, saying that they were going to go after her. They never did, but she was worried that they were, and now it seems like they are.
Hmm. Well,
It
doesn't say if it's Eastern, Central, or whatever, but it says on his website, Sunday night.
Yeah, I think it's 7 Central, 8 Eastern.
Okay, well, it says 8 p.m., so on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, TJ, I'll put you on the hot spot, but it's just a yes-no answer. How would you feel about interviewing Tim Miller at 8 p.m. on any night?
I've done that, and it depends on if he's had a tough day or a tough night, or if he's had some rest and relaxation. How much he's got left in him to deliver. because we know that he puts in some pretty hard days with what he does, and sometimes he puts in some pretty hard nights.
I think that was a very politically correct answer. That's great. Okay, the other thing that happened this week was Crystal got custody of Junior.
Mm-hmm.
You want to tell us that story, TJ?
An emergency hearing was conducted Thursday, and not a whole lot was released on it, other than Junior would be remanded into custody of Crystal Sheffield, and Friday she could pick him up. I got posted via Facebook. It was a posting that Marie Griffiths had stated something that at the time of this typing, Junior is heading back to his family with the Baker Countyans, something to that nature. And what wasn't clear was whether or not Crystal was driving. But the fact of the matter is that the child is back in Baker County. There's this situation with this youngster being back with his mom. Many people see that as a bit more of a stable, but compared to what, we're talking about the biological parents. Neither one of them very old at the time the children were born. Maybe not the best schooled in the ways of parenting, and neither has really displayed perhaps the ability to be parent of the year. But at least in this situation as it appears right now, the volatility factor is probably a bit minimal in Baker County as it was in Putnam County. And now with Dad in jail, I mean, goodness sakes, Mrs. Sykes has been taking care of Junior a bit too with Ronald. And, her house has just got to feel empty.
yeah.
You got the two boys gone and everything. It's got to feel very, very, very big and empty right now.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have someone coming in from Skype, I believe, because it's the infamous 111 area code. What's your question or comment for us?
Oh, yes. I'm Cannibal, and I feel that this case might be thrown out of court if a decent attorney gets a hold of it, because according to a little thing, the U.S. Constitution, Eighth Amendment, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Now, $950,000.
Okay, that sounds pretty boring.
Yeah.
But I do know the point was trying to be made was excessive fines and excessive bails. I'll be right back, folks. We have a weather alarm going off here at the radio station. Hang on.
Oh, no. That could mean something really bad. Denny.
Yes.
All right. Do you think that the caller was right of talking about, excessive bonds and excessive...
I think the caller was drunk.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Yeah, but the Fifth Amendment is about self-incrimination, but you also have to worry about excessive bond amounts that could come back to bite you. But I believe the folks in Putnam County and in that judicial circuit have gone over their stuff rather carefully before doing what they did. I don't think if you go this far, you don't want to jeopardize what you're doing to this case.
I agree with TJ there. I assume that the law enforcement, the prosecutors have done their homework and that the judge knew what he or she was doing to put this bail out there. But and I assume that these people are lawyered up already, and that if the bail is excessive, we'll hear that complaint shortly.
Oh, okay. What is the lawyered up situation? Do you have an update on that, DJ?
It appears that Mark Field is once again, you know, he and Misty kind of like, okay, we're with each other. Okay, we're not with each other. Okay, we're with each other. It appears he's back taking care of this on her end. Last I spoke with Mr. Shoemaker up there with Maury Shoemaker and Beardsley. I've not received a word back, but other reports have indicated that there's not been contact made, at least in the first 48 hours, probably has so since then. As far as Sykes, Tommy, and Donna Brock, I have not heard. But I imagine that Donna Brock has the means to get an attorney at a moment's notice. The other two, they may have to have public defenders just based on past performance.
Okay, I want to go back to Donna Brock. I mean, clearly this is a woman of means. What the hell is she doing, you know, trading oxys with these folks?
She was working undercover for the police.
Oh, Lord! I like that one. I'll have to remember that one for the next article. and I'll quote you on it. You know, Benny Griffin says she was doing this undercover for the police.
She's one of the good guys.
Oh, no, that cannot be so. Hey, Levi, add some sense to this.
You know, I don't know what sort of defense she's going to have, but I remember Denny talking about entrapment, saying that she was working undercover and that she was trying to find out what happened to Haley, if she could use that as a defense. But the legal experts on Nancy Grace, and even the defense attorneys that were on there who, you know, rushed to defend child molesters and child killers, said that she wouldn't have a defense even if she did argue that. So that it's going to be interesting to see what her defense is. But, you know, speaking of Roxy's, Donna had told me that Misty had witnessed Ronald shoot up Roxy's in his foot. And that's something that she told me about all the time, that Ronald had this obsession with Roxy's.
Who? When you say shoot up a Roxy, how do you do that?
I don't know. That's just what she told me. Not familiar with it.
Okay.
Guys, I just got word. That Donna Brock has asked, did ask, and I probably missed this earlier. I just wish my memory was better, and I wish I'd bring my notes with me on Saturday when I get out of the pool like I did today. But it appears that Donna Brock has asked for a public defender.
Woo.
Yeah, woo. Yeah, that surprised me. It sure did.
Oh. that is a very, very interesting development. I thought Donna Brock had, I won't say piles of money, but enough.
Guess you don't.
One would assume on paper, you know, if you get three different addresses, you have you may have means.
Yeah, and she can travel, you know, to all these states, travel to Satsuma, pick Misty up, take her to all these places.
Well, okay, then obviously I
there
have
might
to
be
ask.
The fix be in right there, and Denny might have right. The why waste your money on a big ass lawyer if the fix was in, you know?
I have to ask the question.
Ask the man in the hat. That's what I say.
No, I have to ask the question: who was bankrolling her? I mean, clearly she doesn't have any cash of her own. I mean, what do we know about her?
Just pretty much what we've known from at least from what I've been able to gather was through Texas Equisearch and just a couple other conversations that I had with Misty, and that was it. I mean, that's really all I knew about her. The rest was basically searching online and and then doing paper trails and doing electronic trails on her. And that's all I had. Now, Levi, you've actually spoken with her a few times, so you probably know more about this young lady than all of us put together.
Well,
not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, you know, I never, you know, asked her anything about her personal life. I just had to keep it on the Haley Cummings case. But I did know that, you know, she, you know, give me number to call her from, and one was a North Carolina area code, one was Orlando, Florida, and the other one was Georgia. She, interesting, and this is, you know, pretty ironic, given that this case is a circus, she told me that she had been working nights at a circus in Georgia.
Huh?
But yet she was a dental assistant.
Yes.
And
what did she do?
North Carolina, Orlando.
I think it was Orlando where she was the dental assistant.
Does she have a private jet that drive, flies her back and forth for her job?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm pretty certain if she had a, you know, private jet, she probably wouldn't want a public defender.
Honey, that was a sarcastic remark. Thank you.
So, you know, the way I read this, and I did write a rather sarcastic op-ed piece a couple of days ago about the five people involved. Is she going to be the one that cracks first?
I think so. I think that she's a talker. She likes to talk, and she likes to go on and on. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't looked in to see if she has a criminal record, if she's has run in with the law. I don't know about it if she has. You know, all the rest seem to. And we know Misty shut up. Ronald probably is not going to talk. Tommy, is he going to talk? I think if anybody talks, it probably could be Donna. She might talk to get out of this entire thing. I think she's singing like a canary.
TJ, if you look at the five that are having this all expenses paid vacation, one of them's going to crack, and one of them's going to crack soon. You know, where's your money at?
Just based on because one of them did it once before, I get the feeling Tommy might be the first one to knock at the door. I don't know if he's got anything, but I get the feeling he's going to be the first one to say, hey, see we can swing here, cuz.
Well,
particularly
as he's on a no-bond hold.
Yeah, what you got to lose, you know? I'm thinking that perhaps Misty will be one who cracks eventually, but I think just because she's got that stubbornness, that very stubborn streak, and that defiance going on, it's going to take a little longer than you might think with her. But like I say, physically she doesn't appear to be handling the comforts of the Gray Bar Inn all that well.
Okay. We're into about the last minute of this broadcast.
Wow, it's flu.
I know. We were having so much fun. I want to go around the table and get everyone's comments. Jan, you're up just because you're 3 feet away from me.
Okay, well, what my thoughts is, I'm hoping that if they have done all these in jail, that somebody will come up with something that'll bring Haley home, because this is what it's all about in our minds. I mean, the drug bust and all that has nothing to do with Haley herself, but the parties know is what is involving Haley. So let's just hope that one of them will want to sing enough to be able to get out of this so that they can tell us something.
Levi, your comments.
You know what, I think that we're going to be seeing something big the coming weeks, maybe in the coming days. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I hope so too. TJ.
I think you're gonna start hearing things come out in trickles, and then once the trickles start and others get word that the trickles start, the dike will break, and you'll have a lot of information coming out in pretty much an overload fashion. I'm not going to put a time prediction on it, but I would say relatively soon.
And remember the Sunshine Law. If any of the family members meet with these people, we'll be able to see what goes on.
Yep.
And Denny.
Here comes the sun.
Yes.
Give us your wrap up for the.
I will be happy to do that, Simon. First of all, though, I want to thank you, if I might, for having me on your program yesterday, and also for posting that book review on your narwo.com site. I really appreciate it. And the I'm a little message to Misty, if she listens to this program, is that TJ said she might be, she might not break as quickly as people might think. She should know, and her attorney no doubt will know, that the first one in the door tends to get the best deal. And if she's dilly-dallies too long and the law enforcement gets the information from another source or sources, they might not need her. And the deal may not be available if she waits too long. So I'm sure her lawyer, if she's in the deal-making mood, would know that and would want to be one of the first ones to the prosecutor's door to make a proffer. So anyway, but regardless of who talks first and talks best, I think the case is going to come to a conclusion. I agree with I know TJ can't divulge too much. He's got sources he has to protect and so forth, but I can feel.
And then they're not mobsters.
They're not mobsters. And I can feel his optimism, and I share that. I've got a feeling now that this thing is going to wrap up. We may not all like the resolution because we don't know whether Haley is still with us. But whatever, I think there's going to be some type of a big break shortly.
This is Simon and Jen Barrett thanking everyone for taking part in the program. It's great that we see something moving forward, and I have no doubt that we'll be talking again next week.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo, here comes the sun.
Thanks, y'all,
it's
for
all
being
right
here. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
Bye.